Hold the breath in a very precious and particular way, you know, to sit with an awareness of this could be my last breath. You know, this breath at some point will stop. And you may not want this to be your full-time practice. Some people do hold it as a full-time practice, but I find even dropping in for a few breaths into a sit, it can be quite enlivening. It wakes me up, you know, to not take the breath for granted and also to not take life for granted. You know, it's like, oh, this could be my last day. How do I want to savor this day? Do I want to binge watch something on Netflix? Do I want to go out and connect with the world? It's not a gateway into self-recrimination or judgment, but it's an opportunity to clarify and recommit to presence, to being fully alive. And of course we have those days we just want to hibernate and curl up and check out, and to not get lost in those places, these practices keep inviting us to come home. Come home to this moment, this life. And to also come to this place of, you know, it isn't a mistake. It's not an aberration that we're going to die, or that it's not personal, right? You know, our three characteristics of like not perfect, not permanent, not personal. These bodies are imperfect. They come together, they grow, they fall apart. Many of us are very aware of that in particular parts of our body, or sometimes the whole body in moments. And clearly they're not permanent, and it's not personal. You know, insects and animals and plants and earth bodies and ecosystems and planetary bodies and political bodies, social bodies, I mean, all kinds of bodies arise and pass away. You know, dying happens on the scale of all these different bodies, which is where practicing with that phrasing of this earth body is of the nature to die. It helps us work with this earth body, but I'm finding it also helps work with what's happening to this larger earth body that many of us are so heartbroken about. There actually is some naturalness to the coming together and the falling apart, and we actually don't even know what death looks like or means on these different scales. We think we do, but I think of trees, another teaching I find in their dying. I love dead trees, and part of what I love about them is actually there is an abundance of life in a dead tree. There are whole ecosystems. You know, there might be birds' nests, there might be fungi. There's a whole insect-like world inside dead trees. And so, you know, really cultivating a curiosity about this arising and passing and dying. And when we can open to this, we get to work with our edges, the fears, the sense of loss, the grief, the tightness, the holding on. So it's really fertile practice territory. It's fertile practice. Maybe I'll just pause there and I'll gift you all a little time in smaller breakout rooms, if you wish, to just share with one another, you know, what's alive for you in response to this? What, if any, practice have you held around this remembrance? You know, what are the edges you're coming up against? And then we'll come back for shared wisdom and maybe a final poem. So let me just get breakout rooms and enjoy each other. Well, welcome back, friends. I'll just see if there is anything that wants to be shared that you harvested from your wisdom. Thank you, Ellen. Beautiful. Yeah. Points to how actually we're an ecosystem. We somehow, we think like there's, again, there's that dissolving of the sense of self as we think we know it. It's like, what is this self? Yeah. It is. It is. David, you're muted. Thanks, David. This is such a rich practice, you know, this inviting in a relationship, a really conscious relationship with death. So maybe I'll just close with a poem. This is one of the poems from the interpretation of the Tarigata, the poems of the early Buddhist nuns. And this one's entitled Sila, which translates the rock. Long after the front gate swung closed behind me, I could still hear them. Why talk so much about death? Find a husband to share your bed. Bring children into the world to leave behind after you're gone. But ever since I invited my own death into bed with me, I no longer feel lonely or afraid of the dark. What do we really bring into the world? What do we leave behind? A gate swings closed, then opens. Where does it come from? Where does it all go? So, I wish you a deep, fruitful befriending of this practice in whatever way is possible this week and beyond, and we'll continue with the remembrances and this exploration of impermanence, including the impermanence of the self, which we're weaving into this series. So take such good care, and I will look forward to seeing you next week.